Hey there, boys, girls, and flying squirrels. My name's Joe Keyport, and you're listening to the Ear Coffee Podcast. This week, I got the opportunity to talk with the band Alaska. The band put out one of my favorite releases in 2019, the EP In the Blossom of This, and will be putting out a three-song EP on April 16th, which will be tomorrow if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, and if you're listening to it after April 15th, the year of our Lord 2020, it's already out, so you should go check it out immediately. The 3P is called Time It Won't, and the Morton Sisters and Company spend some time breaking down each song with me. This is my conversation with Alaska on the Ear Coffee Podcast. Let's start off with just everybody kind of introducing yourselves, since there's quite a few of you as a part of Alaska. So let's go around and just kind of introduce yourself so we can get some names to voices, I should say, instead of names to faces.
Yeah, cool. I'm Hannah, and I play some guitars and some vocals.
I'm Mookie. I also play guitar and sing.
I'm Robbie. I play bass.
I'm Bex. I play violin and sing.
And I am Evan. I play guitar and produce the records.
I'm Sam, and I drum.
And Sam, you're now the newest member of Alaska? Correct. Since Keegan decided he hates everybody and left. But let's just start off getting a little bit of history. Just talk about y'all's kind of history with music leading up to Alaska, since it seems like everybody's kind of got, doing what little research I could do, everybody's got a very kind of diverse kind of coming into the band. So let's sort of start there. I know it's kind of a big order, but start there.
Yeah, so us three girls are sisters, which you probably know already. Mm-hmm. And we all started playing violin when we were kids. So that's how we kind of just like got into music. We met Evan, the guitarist, and he also produces our music through our history teacher. And then Hannah went to school with Robbie, so that's how we met Robbie. And Sam is a friend of Keegan, so that's how we met him. We started playing about 5 years ago. We've been through a couple people in the rhythm section. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, and I guess how Alaska started, my sisters and I started by doing cover videos, and we like posted them on YouTube, and then eventually we decided we wanted to record something of our own. So that's whenever we met up with Evan and we recorded a EP, which was under the Morton Sisters at the time.
Okay.
And then Evan kind of was like, I think that this could go somewhere else, so he kind of jumped on and helped push us in the right direction.
Gotcha. So then what was different between Alaska and the Morton Sisters? Because the name change, well, I mean, I've talked to bands and they're like, I mean, the name change really doesn't change anything else other than like the music stays the same. Was there a difference between being the Morton Sisters and then now being Alaska?
Yeah, well, it was when we were the Morton Sisters, it was kind of just us three. So Alaska is all of us, is the rhythm section and Evan and...
Yeah, the EP that we recorded under the Morton Sisters, I don't know, it's kind of just, it was how it was. We recorded it live and just put it out there. And Alaska's more like a group collaboration.
Yeah, totally. And the genre has kind of changed too, from less folky to more rock.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the switch over from being like a folky kind of folk pop, moving more with that healthy respect for rock and experimental music. Is home base for the band Eau Claire, where Evan has his studio,
I think we consider the band to be more like Minneapolis based.
Okay.
Just because most of us live in the cities and we play a lot more in the cities. But
gotcha.
Yeah.
Oops.
Eau Claire.
Because I was one. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, we do all our recording in Eau Claire.
Because I was just wondering, because with the access, so such an easy access to a studio, the idea of the songs growing out of that kind of format there. Do you spend, I mean, we'll get to that part in a little bit. I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself, but I was wondering how that fit into everything. And then Evan, I'm wondering what did you, because they meant it was mentioned that you wanted to kind of start working and producing. What did you see in the Morton sisters that you wanted to put help out and put your work and stuff into?
Yeah, you could kind of hear it in their voices that where they were at with the their creative voices, where they were with the Morton sisters. They wanted to push forward creatively and do some new styles of music or experiment a little bit more, but just didn't have the necessary wherewithal to even really know how to say that or really what to do. And so I brought on Zach Brofford, who is a session drummer and done a lot of sessions out here, and Ethan Schmidt as bass player. Same thing, session guy, touring musician. And the ideas were a little easier to realize through that system and that setup. And it just opened up a new envelope, a new path to walk down creatively.
Gotcha. And so, as Laska, you put out your first record, Ceiling Zero, in 2017. How long had those songs been sitting around as previous Morton Sisters songs? Or kind of how, tell me about making that record a little bit and kind of how that came to be.
Yeah, so those were all songs we had written at Morton Sisters, but they definitely evolved and changed a lot when we brought them into the studio. They became a lot better.
Yeah, agreed.
So then the reason I know who you are, I think it was a member of Stone Arch Isles sent me your 2019 EP In the Blossom of This, which listening to Ceiling Zero and then switching over is just much darker and kind of a heavier release and kind of really the band's first foray into almost soundscapes. I'm thinking of, I think it's the first song, Paralysis. There's like the synthetic drums and a lot more soundscaping. Kind of where did you get like the drive to do that? And what was really the kind of the factor that made you want to start moving into that direction musically? And where were you at? All right, there's a million questions I'm about to ask. So we'll start there.
I think that when we recorded Ceiling Zero, so that was my sisters and I's like first time like really experimenting with recording and like doing more than just the live recording.
Okay.
So I think we were a little hesitant to like get too out there. We like, I don't know. It was just kind of hesitant. And then by the time we had more experience and did In the Blossom of This, we were like, yeah, let's just try everything. Like, there's no bad ideas. Just throw them out there, see how it sounds.
Yeah. I also feel like all of our writing styles are just, they just keep evolving into different things. So like we all just keep, I don't know, not necessarily growing, but just changing our writing styles.
I'd say our writing has matured also in the last couple of years, so that affects.
Yeah, just with getting older, that changes.
And I think too, from a creative standpoint or a production standpoint, one of the great things that I love about this band is there is a want to continue to develop. So it's as soon as we do something, we're able to get excited about it, live with it, play it out live, and then move forward to something else. You know, we don't really have necessarily a signature kind of sound or something that we want to create on every single record, which over time becomes, I guess, kind of a signature sound, almost like an unsaid rule that things will be different with each new release. And I know for me as a music listener, an enthusiast, I like it when artists change it up every time, when each new record is different from the last one.
It also helps with like having so many people have a say in the creativity of our band, because like we all add our own touches and we all write. So that helps with the genre breaking type deal.
Gotcha. How does writing work for the band? You said this one's much more collaborative. Is it everybody just in a room hashing things out, or where do songs begin and then do people pile on from there? Or kind of tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, the songs definitely start like on their own. So one of the three of us will write something and then we'll bring it to everybody else, either like finished or thought to be finished or maybe incomplete, but from there we all just build. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, because I mean, like, we'll one of us girls would write a song, but then it's always up for changes when we bring it to the studio. So, like, sometimes Evan will suggest we add another chorus, or we switch something up a little bit, or change some chords around, and
And then sometimes things change, like, really drastically too when they get brought to the studio. Like, one song I'm thinking of right off the bat is like Dirty Pools. The single was just like such a short and small little demo, and then we brought it into the studio and Evan kind of transformed it overnight. So that was, so things can really change drastically when they come into the studio.
And okay, then on that note, it is fun for me to I probably can't swear on this, but mess things up and get excited about it on my end, and then play it for them when they walk in, and most times they're down for it, which again is another thing that I really enjoy about this band is it's nothing is ever too weird, and the textures and the changes and the whatevers seem to resonate with them. At some level, whether or not it's something like, yes, love it, keep it, let's move on, or love it, but let's tweak something here and there. It's a fun group to be involved with creatively.
While we're talking about how songs evolve, one of the songs on the EP, actually, Evan wrote the chords for on piano and then sent them to us, and Mookie wrote the lyrics, so that was kind of a different evolution than
this upcoming EP is what she's talking about.
And so, okay, so moving on, continuing kind of talking about In the Blossom of this, where were you at creating that record? Because, again, I mentioned it's definitely a bit of a heavy record with its moments, like, I mean, the opening track, Paralysis, and some of the other songs on there. Where were you all at when it was coming into that record? Or I should say EP, excuse me.
Well, I guess I don't know how to answer that.
Me either. I think we were in different places.
Yeah. I know Paralysis was definitely a song of... It was a really hard song. It was mm-hmm. definitely a song written about a lot of bad feelings and depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of... I mean, that's not necessarily gone. But it comes in waves. Yeah.
Well, we can move on then from In the Blossom of this, because you've since put out three singles, which we were talking about those songs over just instant messenger. You mentioned that those are going to be those are just going to stay standalone singles, kind of Iris, Remain Consumed, and 2 Days of Guilt. What was the decision to leave those songs as standalones and not include them on the upcoming EP?
I think it's just because they kind of had like their own feel to them. They didn't necessarily fit in with the EP. Also,
last year we kind of sat down and like looked at all the songs that we wanted to record, and we just like grouped some together, and mm-hmm. so we had this EP, we have a full length that we're working on, and then those songs were kind of outliers, so we wanted to keep releasing things and decided to just do them as singles.
You said they have a different feel how?
Well, Iris is like a little bit more jazzy. Is that the right word for it? Yeah. It's, kind of a little bit different genre for us. And then I felt the same about Remain Consumed because it's kind of more like a rock ballad. Mm-hmm. 2 Days of Guilt, I feel like, is a little bit more headed in the direction that our other songs will be.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any like validity to us saying that they're different, but it's just a feeling that we have. We're like, these need to be together, these need to be together, and these can stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, so I know that a lot of bands like will release singles going up to a bigger release, and like, I don't know, I think all of us together just think that, I don't know, it feels like cheating kind of, because...
There's the catalog of songs that the sisters are sitting on runs pretty far and wide, so it's not there's no shortage of what we think are wonderful songs to put out to the world. And also, I mean, with today's streaming services, it makes more sense to just keep the catalog growing as opposed to put out a single and then include that on a record. And then also, you know, that makes that available to everybody. And in a way, it is sort of, you can see it as like sliding the consumer by including, you know, two singles you've already released that they might have purchased and then including it on an album that they're going to purchase. You know, and that gets back to, again, there's just no shortage of songs that we can make available to folks.
Yeah, well, just that idea, because the EP we'll be getting to in just a question is only three songs. So the idea of releasing one of those, if you've already heard one third of the release, it kind of feels you don't want to do something like when War on Drugs released half of A Deeper Conversation With before the album came out.
Right.
Yeah.
That, I feel like, so, a lot of bigger bands do that, and it's mm-hmm. I feel cheated whenever I listen to the album. I'm like, I want this to be a fresh album.
Yeah. Yeah, and honestly, going back in the history books, the Beatles did the very same thing that was really inspired me on how to put out music. They released their singles as standalone things. None of their singles ever made it onto a record because they had a bunch of really great songs that they were sitting on, and it felt like they were gypping their fans by including singles on records.
Yeah, most definitely, and especially because how many songs do you have? A bunch. Obviously, you probably have a bunch more that you're just trying to figure out what should go where. How often are you going through and making sure and picking and kind of having conversations about what should go where and what you want to release, and I don't know, maybe you feel isn't worthy of putting out into the world or making a part of the official Alaska kind of catalog?
I don't know if we have like a specific method or like a period of time that we wait to figure that out, but right now we have, so after this three song EP, we have a single that we're going to release and then a 10 song album. And then I think we have like three to five songs that are just kind of sitting in the back pocket that we'll think about after we get done with the 10 song album.
Yeah. Okay. We're also just like kind of consistently writing new songs. So yeah, we have a lot. I think
we answered it.
And the great thing again, is there's nothing that's ever too terribly precious. I mean, these songs come from somewhere, that is passionate about writing songs and getting, emotion out. But the great thing is that, again, you know, there's nothing that's sat on for too long. It's let's record it, let's put it out, and let's move on. You know, some bands will have songs for, you know, these dozen songs that they've had for 10 years that they're just perfecting to the nth degree, and I feel like that's a lot of you know, time loss and creative growth loss. And so yeah, a part of the fun challenge is also just sort of reining it in a little bit as the songs continue to pour in. Like, okay, let's just stay focused on these 10 or 12 songs that we're going to put on this record, and then knowing that as soon as this is out, we're going to continue recording and working on new stuff. It makes it a fun challenge and fun discussions, again, because I'm partial to it and biased, obviously, but I do think that the songs are great. And they're also good with self-editing. It's not just, here's a song I wrote, and it's great. They do edit a lot in the lyric department. So we're not just being flippant about saying that.
Okay. I'm talking to you while I've interrupted a recording session today. Are you working on the album right now, or are you still finishing up the EP?
The EP is pretty much finished. We did some final touches, but yeah, we're working on the full length at the moment.
And the single that will probably come out summer sometime.
Okay. So now that I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. Does this EP have a title yet?
We just decided that it's going to be called Time It Won't.
Time It Won't. and then
it's kind of a last minute decision.
Is there a release date for it yet?
April 16th.
April 16th. Perfect. And then why a decision to release just a little three-song EP this coming April as opposed to waiting to put out that second record a little later this year?
I think it's because we have such a large amount of songs that we didn't want to release them all as singles, just because that would be like a lot of singles in a short period of time. So we just decided to group them together. And
yeah. And I think why we're releasing this instead of like working on the album and releasing that first, I think we wanted to just get something out that was more than a single.
Yeah.
And so we put our effort into finishing this up so that there'd be something like a little bit longer than just a single.
We also like to consistently release new music. We don't like to have anyone wait too long till we release some new stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, because thinking, like looking through it, other than you've put out things consistently since that first record in 2017. Well, let's jump into the EP then. You were kind enough to send me the EP. I got to listen to it a couple of times this week. So I was wondering if we could do a little bit of like a song by song breakdown, just because there's three of them and they're all their own little thing, with obviously continuing to all sound like Laska, but I don't think there are two Laska songs that completely sound alike, which is probably one of the coolest things as a music listener to actually to interact with. So you said the first song would be Into the Choir Invisible. So just tell me a little bit about that one, because I think when I downloaded them, that was just the title was Word Food.
it was supposed to be Worm Food.
Worm Food. I gotcha.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out the title for that. The Into the Choir Invisible comes from a George Eliot poem. She was late 1800s poet. And the poem is about like fantasizing about death. And that's kind of what the song is also about. It's kind of supposed to like encapture that feeling of something's about to happen, or like the feeling of anarchy, or I don't know, that song kind of just came out. It was one of those that we didn't really think about the concept. It kind of just happened. Kind of just sat down at the piano and wrote it. But yeah, okay. It definitely has that feeling of the world is about to end.
Which is kind of
relevant right now.
Yeah, it was like awkwardly relevant, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay. Who originally started off the kind of the... Oh, you said Evan was the one who came up with the piano chords. But...
Yeah, so okay. Evan sent us the piano chords while he was on tour with The National, right?
Yeah.
And I'm Mookie. I sat down with him and wrote the lyrics. And then, yeah, everyone added their own touch to it.
Gotcha. So then the second song is, would that be song about... Or Sleep Disguise. Okay, yeah.
That one Hannah wrote, so Hannah can talk about that one.
Yeah, so that one's about, like, anxiety and dealing with, I don't know, just getting out of your own head and, like, being held back by yourself and your own anxiety. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay, yeah, because that's when I, one of the notes I had written about this one was, it definitely feels, I don't know, it's like the song almost degrades over the course. It gets, like, really chaotic before, like, reaching that final verse. I don't know if it's a verse or that ending. It's kind of what I felt drove the song home for me. I'm sorry, I don't need to talk about your own music.
No, that's great. I love it.
But like that final line is the I don't need anyone to save me. It's almost a self-reflection kind of looking inward, which I feel like a lot of Laska's music is driven by that self-reflection anyway.
Yeah, definitely. But,
yeah, I didn't write this song, but to me, it kind of seems like you're talking yourself through something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like you're processing that.
Actually, that song came after... So all three of these songs we've been like sitting on for a while, which is something that they also have in common. They're like all revisited things that like we thought a long time ago, but still like kind of struggle with. So this song actually came after a time that I was in like a big spout of writer's block, and finally I just like sat down and I was like, I'm gonna get over this, because yeah, writer's block is kind of bullshit and not really real, but I just needed to talk myself through writing a song to get out of it.
Okay. And then the final song then, which is Song About Love?
Yes.
So talk to me about that one as well.
That song is about... The lyrics are about kind of being fed up with the societal norm of, like, needing to find a romantic partner in life. Like, I wrote it when I was just kind of... I was sick of feeling like that was my only purpose. And also, I was afraid that being in a relationship would kind of make me less of a person, make me less of an individual. Yeah, and that's kind of something that I struggled with for a long time. So that's what that song is about.
Okay, because I was, again, and then one of the, because then the note I had was just, it feels like it's almost driven by like a constant stream of questions.
Yeah, that's true. It is.
And I want to take a moment to give a shout out to Dave Power, who played drums on the first and the second track on the EP.
Because was that recorded in between Keegan's leaving, or?
Actually, before. So it was before we had Keegan even. We recorded.
And after our drummer Noah left.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And also another interesting thing about Sleep Disguise. When we recorded it the first time, it was like piano was the main instrument in it. And mm-hmm. now I think there's no piano in it, right?
Yeah, that's another song that really evolved when we brought it to the studio. It like completely changed.
Okay. Is that just like the process of picking it, constantly picking at it in the studio, or?
Yeah, I think we had it like, so we had the first recorded version of it for a while, and we all kind of knew there was something that needed to change. And then, yeah, Evan was just like, let's do this. And then we were like, okay. And then it was way better. That's usually how it goes.
So then moving from the EP, I appreciate you being willing to take me through the songs, especially songs that are obviously very personal. Talk to me about the record then a little bit. What can you tell me, and like what's going on as you go into working on this follow-up full length?
I think for me, the direction is changing again creatively, but nothing that's like too off-putting. You know, the songs do have a similar, you know, kind of Alaska coding to them. Mm-hmm. But we're keeping it exciting for us. I think that one of the things that we did earlier on with Ceiling Zero and in the Blossom of This, I guess more specifically with Ceiling Zero, was if it was a little blown out production wise, with a lot of different layers. In the singles here, we've sort of stripped it back a little more natural, and it kind of feels like we're heading back into a kind of like a happy medium between not getting too layered with stuff, having an honest look at each source, whether it's voice or guitar or drums or whatever. They kind of sit on their own in their own little space, but also not being afraid to tack on some oddities here and there.
Yeah, I think one of our goals with the full length is like, if we want to make something bigger, then we want to take something else and make it smaller. Like, we were just working on a song and we were like, we want the drums to be like the moving part, so now we're going to go back and like simplify the piano so that it kind of is not a bunch of big things, but like there's different big parts to each song.
Mm. Okay. I was wondering, since you mentioned how you're always kind of changing and wanting to make things different than it was before, is there something that... Let me try to formulate this in a coherent question. What do you feel drives that within the band? Is there always a factor that you feel is when working on music that you're just like, wanting to push to a certain sound or something like that? Why, what's always driving you to like change it up? Or no, I shouldn't say change it up, because again, like as a listener, it's like Laska is always Laska. It's everything's more always different and interesting, but it's never like, I don't feel like you've gone to the point of like, I don't know, is this questioning whether this is actually a Laska release if it was playing just in a playlist and you have to like look it up?
Robbie's going to handle this one.
Well,
Robbie on bass.
I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think me personally, I feel like we don't want to like settle on anything. And that goes with just like the songwriting and parts and everything. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like
that's my two cents.
We kind of all independently will think about it and be like, is this what's expected? Because we always want like some kind of element of unexpected too. We don't want to just do the first thing that comes into our head. We want to think about it and challenge ourselves.
Yeah. For me, I'm like, from a songwriting and lyric perspective, I'm always finding new inspirations. And so I kind of get some inspiration from my newly favorite artists. So that's how my writing styles change.
Mm. What's your, who's your newly favorite artist at the moment then?
Well, I really like Leonard Cohen right now.
Okay.
So I kind of adapted his, well, I'm writing a song right now that's kind of adapting his picking pattern, which might be cheating, but
it's not just cheating. Borrowing.
It's borrowing. Yeah.
So yeah. So I even like will admit that like, yes, I'm writing this song to sound like a Leonard Cohen song. So.
Hmm. Well, it's Leonard Cohen through the lens of Laska, so.
Right, exactly. And obviously yeah. It's not going to sound exactly like him because my voice isn't quite as deep, but.
What? And I think from my perspective, you know, I'm always looking for, this is Evan speaking again here, I'm always looking for things that are exciting to me, both creatively but also as a listener. You know, if I just didn't know who this band was and I was listening to it, what would get me amped up what I was hearing, whether that's just something interesting sonically or a chord progression. But it's also the primary thing for me is to never lose focus of the lyrics and obviously the melodies and the harmonies that are being sung. So there's a couple little checkpoints for me that I like to make sure are in place. And then again, you know, that kind of gets back to making sure that the stuff doesn't get so blown out that we were missing some really important words. You know, we don't want anything to just fly by because there's nothing really surface level with these lyrics. They're all coming from some place, and it's important that the listener maintains that focus throughout the entire song.
And also, to one of Evan's point about not losing sight of the lyrics, one thing, if you might have noticed on the first listen through, Song About Love is going to be the first song we release that has no harmonies on it.
Oh.
And, yeah. That was actually Evan's idea because the song is about being afraid of losing your individuality. So it just, we tried out putting harmonies on, but it like just didn't feel like that's what the song needed.
It felt even forced.
That's our norm. Mm-hmm. It's not what the song needed. So like that has to come first.
Interesting.
And piggybacking off of that, I have always struggled with, in every band that I've ever been in, I shouldn't say struggle, that's a hard word, but then every band I've ever worked with, there is this sort of unwritten rule that everybody has to do something all the time. And it doesn't need to be that way. If you look at other favorite bands of yours, whoever it may be, there are points where there's not always harmonies, or there's not always three guitars playing in a three guitar band. It's not always just balls to the walls drumming. And I think that that's an important creative step for every band to discuss and take, is that there's three vocalists in this group. Do we all have to sing all the time? Not really. Because especially now as the sisters' chops on their own individual instruments are getting better and better, that just leaves some space to explore as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of like any just thinking about that and the I'm like, did I miss anything else on this EP that is something similar? But that does it for me. For question wise, I was just wondering what the rest of 2020 and looks like for the band.
Changing everything.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. Incredibly
but,
up
so
in the air.
So we did have a release show for the EP scheduled, which is now going to be postponed. But what we're looking at doing is like a live stream of some sort. So whether that's going to be at the studio or at another location, but that should be pretty fun to happen at some point.
Like a live stream EP release is our plan. And yeah, we're going to just be doing a lot more recording this year.
We have a... tentative plan to go out west in the fall. Obviously, that we don't know. Nobody knows what's going to happen in the world in the next couple of months. So, we'll see.
Yeah, asking what the future looks like is a pretty not stupid question, but big question at this point in time. Have you toured the West Coast as a band?
We did a quartet thing last summer.
Okay,
just to like four cities, I think.
Yeah.
Because you guys tour pretty frequently as a group.
We tour around like the Midwest pretty frequently, but we're trying to tour out more.
Yeah, we're trying to expand. We probably go on at least two bigger tours a year as of now.
Tours, but yeah,
mediumer, not big tours, medium-er. Like week long tours.
Yeah. Well, where can people find you if they want to go look up Laska? I mean, most of the people listening will already have known who you are because they read your coffee, and they know your music. Where can people find you?
At Laska the Band is the social medias,
and laskatheband.com is our website.
Mm-hmm. We're on the streaming sites, you know, the classics. Mm-hmm.
Can give you our home address if you'd like.
We're also on Bandcamp, and we just put our merch on Bandcamp. Since I am unemployed, I decided I can send people merch now.
So yeah, go check out Laska merch. I haven't had a chance. I got the notification yesterday or 2 days ago, and I just haven't had a chance to go look at that yet. But awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your recording session and out of your day to come and, or I shouldn't say come and talk to me, but sit down and talk with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Your Coffee Podcast is a companion to the blog of the same name. If you like this episode, please leave us a rate and review so we can stand out among the other music podcasts. You can follow us at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @YourCoffee. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.